Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 13th, 2023. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hectic Witches Planner. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "It is never too late to be what you might have been," by George Eliot. So it is Friday the 13th. For longtime listeners, you know how I feel about Friday the 13th. I won't go on to my little Friday the 13th education rant, but what I will do is remind you that all of the memes telling you what Friday the 13th means is mostly all BS. So for the love of God, don't reblog it. Please don't. Please don't. Please. And that's it. I will save my mini Friday the 13th class for a different Friday the 13th. You're all very lucky that we have a lot to talk about today. But you know how I feel about it. You know how I feel about it. I have a lot of feelings. And I think it's really weird. People just make stuff up that are so blatantly incorrect. And then they get like 3.4 million reblogs. So that's just... let's just all be cool. It's 2023, okay? Let's all be cool about it. Anyways, what are we drinking today? I'm going to take a quick sip. We are drinking Witch of Orleans, which is a black tea with chicory, cacao nibs, orange, cloves, dandelion root, and natural cream flavoring. Also cinnamon. There's a lot of cinnamon in it. Why is that not on our list? Let me check. The website. Let me make sure the website has the correct ingredients, because cinnamon's kind of like the main thing after black tea. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Let's see what it says. I don't want to mislead anybody about what's in here. Oh, okay. No, it's there. It just got lost in translation. Okay. Phew. All right, so let's dig in a little bit. So like I said before, this tea is based, it's our Mardi Gras tea. Mardi Gras here in New Orleans is kicked off with a parade to Joan of Arc. It is officially also the day that you can eat king cake. So it is a king cake tea in honor of Joan of Arc. On Monday, we talked about Joan of Arc. We talked about Mardi Gras cake. We talked about how this tea came to be. And finally, anyone who has ordered this tea may have noticed you received something special in your packages. You received your very own Mardi Gras throws, which in this case is beads. So let's talk a little bit about Mardi Gras throws, what they are, and the whole thing, okay? So this comes to us from MardiGrasNewOrleans.com. So what are throws? Well, they are exactly what they sound like, items that crew members on floats throw to parade goers as the floats pass by. Throws often include doubloons, beads, cups, homemade trinkets, toys, and more. The throwing of trinkets to crowds was started in the early 1870s by the 12th Night Revelers and is a time-honored expectation for young and old alike. In 1884, Rex started using medallions instead of trinkets. These medallions are represented by today's doubloons, aluminum, and in many different colors. They depict the parade theme on one side and the crew's emblem on the other side, and they have become collectible items. In the Bacchus Parade, the king's float throws doubloons with an image of the celebrity king on one side. And if you're lucky to catch one, hold on to it. I think my first year here, Jensen Ackles was the Bacchus King, which is really weird because it's his wife who's from New Orleans, and she is an actress. I feel like it would have been cool if she was, but what, you know, who am I? Who am I to say? Anyways, it's really cool. And the most prized throws are the crew's signature throws. Zulu has coconuts, and many other crews offer hand-decorated items, including Muse's shoes, Nick's purses, a la Genie Limps, and Carrollton shrimp boots. And the list goes on and on. Even though we don't participate in Nick's anymore, they were found out to be doing a lot of really shady stuff, and they don't behave in a way that New Orleans condones. So while the Knicks parade still rides or rode last year, it has now kind of become a tradition to not to go to that parade. And me and my friends do a Knicks thing every year, which is we Knicks it and we go get food. We don't participate. But most crews have medallion beads and feature the year's themes. Other popular throws include cups, which if you've ever been to a home in New Orleans, it's probably half of the cupware are Mardi Gras cups, long pearl beads and stuffed animals, and some throws even light up. Be warned, if you're at the first parade and reach down to pick up a doubloon with your hand, your fingers may never be the same. Many stomp on balloons in their rush to claim them. Hint, if you're standing next to a bunch of old grandmothers dressed up in high heels and Playboy bunny outfits, don't think your chances are any better. They may be old, but they're fast. So if you got the Witch of Orleans tea, there is a chance you actually chance. I put throws in all of your packages. So I really hope you enjoyed them. All right, witches. We are going to have a break. And after the break, we're going to do our last day of the planner series. And it is living an intentional life. And it is a perfect day for those who don't really want to set new goals. Because make me. That's all.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, January 13th. The waning gibbous moon beautifies the landscape in Libra today. Here, the moon forms a grand air trine with Venus and Mars. Mars has finally turned direct in Gemini today, and we may feel a burst of energy lunging us forward. Venus in Aquarius is allowing us to think objectively about our situation, but Mercury continues to be retrograde. So we have to make sure that we are taking everything into consideration before running off at the mouth. This new drive that we are feeling may have us trying to leap into action, but with Mars's ruler still retrograde, it's best that we think these actions through before getting in too deep. Your daily moon mantra is, "Look before you leap, for as you sow, so shall you reap." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Witches are on the go. If we're not balancing home life with work, we're organizing rituals and keeping track of spells. The Hectic Witch's Planner is a journal-style planner that not only helps you keep track of appointments and important dates, but encourages you to plan out your long-term goals, your rituals, and even helps you pause and reflect with journal prompts. This 250-page, 12-month weekly planner is filled with planting guides, holiday information, moon phases, and more, with monthly suggestions to help you try out new witchy things. Full color with bound pages, this is a planner for witches built by some of the busiest witches around. Take charge of your destiny now with the 2022 planner and be on the lookout for the Hectic Witches 2023 planner, available on Amazon.
All right, witches. So this is the last day of our planner series, and I really hope you were able to get something out of it, even if like 99% of it just wasn't for you, or it's not what you need, or not what you're looking for. I really, 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 really hope that you got something from it, because I really, my goal for 2023 is for all of us to feel better. That's it. I want to feel better. I want to feel more serene, and I want that for everybody. And so that was my intentions with making this series, and I don't know. I want everyone to be happy. Is that so much to ask? Anyways, today we're talking about creating a life that feels good, that feels more intentional, that isn't about reaching the next level or reaching the next achievement, but instead is just about feeling good. That's all. That's all I want for you. That's all I want. So we have talked quite a lot this week, from recovering and avoiding burnout to creating goals to managing time. So let's say you successfully created more time for yourself, but you're more of a hug person and less of a hustle person. Let's say you want to use your newfound space to enjoy your life and not constantly feel pressure to achieve and evolve. Well, today is your day. We're going to talk today about creating an intentional life. I was recently listening to the Financial Diet podcast, one of my favorite podcasts, and they talked about radical contentment. Remember, I say this all the time, happiness is not joy. It is not being ecstatic. Instead, true long-lasting happiness is contentment, that feeling of stillness, feeling present, and feeling whole. So how can we achieve more of that into our lives? So how can we feel more content, find more contentment? Some of us may not know what that looks like for us, and it is different for each of us. We sometimes pile people into two boxes: unmotivated and lazy, or high achieving and goal seeking. But in reality, there is space between those two, and that is the sweet spot we're looking for today. For me personally, I feel my best when I get to putter around my home. Pouring myself into my space and domestic chores makes me feel still and grounded and like I'm really experiencing my life. If you've constantly lived in the two boxes we talked about before, you may not know that thing that gives you that feeling. So let's see if we can give you some options today that might help you find it. So what are our goals here for this? First, it's to decide how we want our days to look, what information we want to absorb, and most importantly, not living on autopilot. This comes from Michelle B. on YouTube. While I pulled from multiple experts and creators on the topics we've talked about this week, and even today, if you enjoy today's topic specifically, I think you'll find her channel really nice and really a good spot for you. So step one, you have to know what your values are. If you're not living within your value system, you're going to feel uncomfortable. This was a personal lesson I learned in 2022. There were certain people in my life I always felt uncomfortable around, but felt I had to be around them in order to be social, or I felt guilty, or I felt like I was being snooty, and I really did just want to avoid them. There was a lot of guilt there. Like, I felt like I was being, I don't know, I just, we need to stop feeling bad for not wanting to be martyrs to other people's comfort. Ultimately, my values just didn't correspond to their values, and I needed to be true to myself. So now you may think, Tanya, is it really important that me and my friends' values match? Oh my gosh, if this wasn't the whole like vibe of politics, right, in 2016. Let me take a sip of my tea. Yeah, sort of, kind of, it does matter. It does, because ultimately, it'll eventually affect you. There are people in my life I enjoy spending time around, but maybe some of their behaviors and actions are not a part of what I would deem moral or what I'm comfortable being around. And it's not that I'm being judgmental to what they do. It's the fact that I know if they're willing to do this to other people, they'll eventually do it to me. Your friends' values and morals will affect you. They just will. And ultimately make you uncomfortable. You don't live in a bubble completely unaffected by the lives of the people you surround yourself with. Your values affect every part of yourself. Who you're around, the choices you make, the paths in life you choose, and important in this discussion, how comfortable you are. Being uncomfortable is not how we want to spend our lives or our time, especially if you have made a lot of efforts and choices to have free time. Let's say you did all the stuff we talked about on Thursday and now you have free time. Do you really want to spend that free time being around people who make you uncomfortable? So here's an exercise you can do to determine your values. Focus on any time you felt strong emotion. Happiness, joy, sadness, anger. My examples of joy is after I've learned new fun facts or I've read a book on like a really interesting topic, I get so excited. So learning is clearly a part of my value system, right? So there's ways I can incorporate that. Listening to audiobooks or being around people who also like to learn new things like that. Oh my gosh, it makes me so happy. Let's see. I have felt sadness when a friend makes time for me once a week for months and then suddenly drops off. That makes me feel an emotion, makes me feel sad. So I've learned consistency is one of my values. I need people in my life who are consistent, which makes sense, right? Inconsistency tends to not make us feel very safe. It feels unpredictable and chaotic. And I don't like that feeling. I have felt anger when I've been around people who are maybe judgmental or unwilling to consider anything but their way. So open-mindedness and flexibility are a part of my value system. So you can do that exercise too. Just think of any time you have felt strong emotion, good and bad, and think about why you felt that emotion. So some of my values I've learned is learning, consistency, and flexibility. So once you know a few of your values, you can translate those values into behaviors and habits. I'm also, so for me, with my values, this is reading, taking classes online, listening to podcasts. That fulfills my joy. I use my spare time to make elaborate meals, and this fulfills my happiness domestic meter. And I regularly say no to spending time with people who make me feel uncomfortable or who are judgmental. Once you know these things, you can fill your spare time with the things you enjoy instead of doom scrolling or letting others dictate your time. There is much more to this. And other questions you can ask yourself to help determine your values. And I'll include those questions in the worksheet download or the workbook download on our Patreon. So step two, let's say you did that. You've discovered some of your values. Now you need to develop self-awareness. If you are unable to reflect on your emotions, feelings, and what you struggle with or where your faults are, you don't know what you need to do to ease yourself. 2022 was a big year for me in realizing a few of my own flaws, whether that was meeting someone older than me who maybe carried a few of my flaws, but in like a more extreme manner, and me thinking, oh, I see how this can get to a point that I don't want to be. That was really eye-opening for me, and it made me really want to change some of my flaws. Or thinking, wow, multiple people have told me I react this way in certain situations. Maybe I should work on that. Along, of course, with what we talked about above, was being able to pinpoint what brings out certain emotions. So, how can you make choices that align with you if you don't know your alignment, right? So it's just about being self-aware, the good and the bad. Now, one step we can use for self-awareness are things that we witches use all the time, like star signs and horoscopes and personality tests. However, big disclaimer, this is not an invitation to go, well, I'm sorry I'm being so stubborn. I'm just a Taurus. Deal with it. No. No. It's also not an excuse to go, well, that's just who I am. Like it or leave it. Have you ever met someone who has said that and go, God, this is like the most miserable person I've ever met? You know what I mean? So learning about yourself is not an invitation to dig your heels in and become unbearable, right? It's just about becoming aware of ourselves and seeing patterns that we can decide if we like those patterns in our life, if we like them. Like there are some things I really like about myself. I also see things in my life I would like to be better about, you know, and being able to pinpoint those things, the things you like about yourself and the things you don't like about yourself, just gives you a little bit of more room to make choices that align with where you want to be. Another way we can look work on self-awareness is journaling. Now listen, I hate journaling because I very much get this, I get this whole, what do I do with my hands energy. I tend to not know what to write down. However, I love prompts. I need guidance on what to reflect on. The Hectic Witches 2023 planner has journal prompts sprinkled throughout. And we also have the Evolution of a Witch book prompt journal. Both are available on Amazon, and the Evolution of a Witch has 150 journal prompts. So this is a really good way to journal when you don't really know what to write down, something I struggle with. You can also try something called morning pages. This is a practice of sitting down every day before work or getting your day started and just brain dumping for 10 minutes. Whatever's in your head when you wake up, getting it out and reflecting on what's circling around in the old noggin. This was a very trendy thing a few years ago. Finally, add magic into your everyday. So you're thinking, okay, so I know what my values are. I'm pretty self-aware, but how do I just add magic into my everyday? Well, I've got you. Here's a few things you can do. Step one is sinking into your happiness. Allow yourself a few extra seconds during those moments that make you feel good. Let's say you see a friend and they get really excited to tell you about this new achievement they had. Pause and appreciate the feeling of her excitement or the way that they're looking at you. Take a moment to note it. Or if you're walking down the street, take a moment to breathe in the fresh air, noticing the nice things in life. Notice the flowers or the birds or just the fact that you get to enjoy a stroll. Noticing the nice things in life makes life, well, nicer. Retrain your brain to notice happiness. Step two, add more variety into your day. A recent paper concluded that variety makes us happier. So look for ways you can add variety into your life. Working in a coffee shop once a week, committing to trying out a new restaurant once a month, schedule a walk with a friend, or like, I don't know, even try hot yoga. Even if you find that these new things aren't perfect, these are the days you'll likely remember versus repeating the same things in places every day. Our brains like novelty. It's why people tend to like new relationships and new people, and then sometimes they tend to fall off. And variety doesn't need to mean spontaneity. If you need to plan out the novelty a few months in advance to make it work, do it. Step three, find ways to add more nature into your life. Now, there are endless studies and stories about how good nature is for us. Nature makes us feel alive, better, and overall just lighter. the greater amount of time spent in nature reports better well-being, creativity, cognition, and reduced stress levels. Whether this is sitting on the porch every day for a few minutes, playing in the backyard with your children if you have them, or planning extended trips into the woods, adding nature into your life will make a difference. Step four, ambient lighting. We witches are really good at this, but set the mood for moments of your life. Get a cup of tea, light a few candles, put on some of your favorite music, twinkle lights, candles, lamps, warm-toned bulbs, put your Coca-Cola in like a fancy wine glass. Just make these moments of ambiance. It just makes the day feel more special. And finally, step five, create themed moments in your life. A friend and I were really good at this. We fell off last year, but we would do themed movie nights and we'd go all out. We would get cafeteria trays to watch summer camp horror movies, or we would watch Lost Boys and make everything we eat look like blood. We watched, I Know What You Did Last Summer and ate fish sticks and boat themed wine. Like theming parts of your life can make simple moments feel like a celebration. It's all about rituals, right? Rituals, creating moments that feel special, cinematic, and like we're living in a movie. Create a main character playlist if that's your thing. It's all about living in the moment and implementing these little rituals or special moments that just make life a little more beautiful. And magical. My gosh, magic. All right, witches. That's it. That is the whole planner series I filmed over summer break. So let's wrap up this episode. I want to give a shout out to listener Megan Wong. Megan, you luminous Arcadian Oracle. Kim Bose. Kim, you bombastic, sophisticated Fae Queen. Karen Walker, Karen, you mystical glowing moth. And finally, Vanessa. Vanessa, you cunning, scintillating banshee. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And I really hope you enjoyed this series. If you hated it, we're going back to regular on Monday. C'est la vie, you know? And that's it. I worked on a lot over winter break. We got a new tea out. We planned this series for you. We got a workbook made. And if you haven't noticed, me and Olivie put out a new book, which I don't think you realize like quite how exciting that is, especially in her position that she's in. The fact she... Can I just like... I'm just going to share a moment. As we know, Olivie has like blown up over the past like year. Some of you have watched it happen and have excitedly sent pictures in of seeing her books at Barnes & Noble. And it has been really cool to watch. Something she has done, and I hope if she ever hears this, she doesn't mind me sharing. We were emailing back and forth one day, and she added a little note at the end of the email. And she's, and I'll never forget this till the day I die. I don't know if she realizes how amazing it was to get that appreciation, but she said, "Just so you know, I'll never forget you were the first person to make me think I could do this for real." And I was just nothing had ever made me feel that way. And I responded and I said, "You're so much bigger than us now. You're so much bigger than us now. And if you wanted to move on from us, I would have no bad feelings. How could I? How could I have bad feelings? You are having extraordinary success and you deserve all the great things like that we can't give you. Like I would have no bad feelings if you moved on." And I said, "But it really means the world that you haven't." And that's genuinely how I feel. And so this book, Grow Your Own Optimist, is very exciting for me, and I'm grateful to Olivie for, you know, not walking away when she has every reason to. And I don't know, I am constantly impressed not only by her talent, but her dignity and her integrity. And I want to be like her when I grow up. And yeah, I don't know. It's just really neat. And I know it sounds silly, but like her success has given me like a little bit of cred as being one of her publishers. Like I'm sure there's companies out there who would knee people in the face to be one of her publishers, and I got to do it, and that's just really cool. So if there's a lesson you can learn from this, if you care to learn a lesson from this, I think it's twofold. I think it's one, from my end, when you see talent, do your best to prop it up. And from her end, integrity and dignity is very beautiful. Very beautiful. And I think we don't often put value on it as I wish we did. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Anyways, I'm very excited, and I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And I'm so happy to be back. I've missed you all. And that's it. So don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we reference today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And that's it. We'll talk next week.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements, because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.